This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Maximize Your Life on Freedom 95, and I am Dr. Leanne Schluter. 317-893-2853. That's 893-2853. Or you can check us out online, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Now, I am getting super excited because you may or may not know if you've listened for the last 5 years. This is a time that we do big, huge health transformations. And this one coming up, it's a Saturday morning. It's Saturday, March 3rd. It's at the Vineyard Church in Greenwood. It is from 10 to 1. We are talking about heart health. I think it's so important. I will tell you, it's not as catchy and jazzy as balancing your hormones naturally, which we will have in the spring. Weight loss, right? People are like, I want to lose weight. I want to balance my hormones. But I've seen so many questions in the office and going through new patients, how many of them are on high blood pressure medication, cholesterol lowering medications, also known as statins. Looking at blood work, seeing when people say, you know, my cholesterol's at 201 and my doctor says this is higher. My cholesterol's at 117 and my doctor thinks this is great. Or, hey, my sister had a stroke and she was only in her mid-50s. Or my father had a heart attack and he's only in, you know, I've seen all of these people, so incredible, like these last several months, people who strokes in their early 60s, heart attacks in their mid 40s. You know, people always, my heart, where it comes from is my grandfather suffered from heart disease the entirety of his life. He had his first quadruple bypass surgery at the age of 47. I've watched my parents struggle with it and reverse it through diet and exercise, despite what their lineage or their genetics had predisposed them to, right? And to watch these changes, I think about, you know, a family member of mine who started really living our five essentials, looking at nutrition, looking at detoxification, effective working out, and how all of that had an effect on their health and reversing those disease processes. And I think about what you'll never know is that had you followed down that same path, you would have been the one that had the heart attack in 5 years. You would have had a stroke in 10 years, right? But just to look at that and how life-changing those lifestyle changes are, to me, I want to share that with anyone. So people who should be here are people with a heart. If you have a heart, you need to be there, right? If you're like, hey, I don't have high blood pressure or high cholesterol, does it run in your family? Is this what you believe to be your genetics? What are you doing to start reversing that? And how important is that? And so to be able to have the exact tools to learn about cholesterol, about statin drugs, you know, cholesterol is your body's healing mechanism. To learn how do you increase your HDL? So if your doctor tells you your good cholesterol is low, what can you do to increase that? If they tell you your triglycerides and your LDLs are bad, okay, what can we do to monitor those? But to be able to see overall that impact that it has on your quality of life and your health is one of the most important. So that's what we're going to be teaching. So it is Saturday morning. It's 10 to 1. Registration starts at 9:30. It's at the Vineyard Church. Cost of those tickets are $25. But guess what? You are listening to Maximize Your Life right here, right now. So you are an action taker for your health, and I like to reward action takers. So if you go online to creatinghealthyindy.com, creatinghealthyindy.com, you can get free tickets. Type radio in the promo, and you will get a free ticket. So when you get a ticket, it comes from you and an accountability partner. So one registration will get you two tickets. So creatinghealthyindy.com radio in the promo code will get you a free ticket. So if not, it's $25 that gets you two tickets. So I'm telling you, get on those. Seats will fill up fast. But if you're ready to radically transform your life and your health and you want the action steps and exactly how to do it, this is the event for you. Literally the biggest event of the year. Creatinghealthyindy.com, promo code radio. Now, today we are talking and debunking some myths. I have had a lot of questions about turmeric, what it does, and is it really as good for you, or is it just a fad? And what about peanut butter? Good or bad? And we're going to talk about that. But first, we're going to talk about some news.
Dr. Leanne's Health News.
Some studies suggest that too much sugar can literally mess with the brain.
Health News Now, one of the world's most commonly prescribed medications.
Today, the average American consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Protesters say they just should not be forced to get this shot, not by the government.
Today's Health in the News. We are talking from the New York Times article. Talks about preventative care saves money? Question mark. Sorry. It's too good to be true. Preventative care saves money? Sorry, it's too good to be true. So clearly, as someone who works in with preventative care and promotes preventative care, it's 100% what I want to look at. Because I'm like, all right, let's check this out. So they talk about how the idea that spending more on preventative care will reduce overall healthcare spending is widely believed and often promoted as the reason to support reform. It is thought that too many people with chronic illnesses wait until they are truly ill before seeking care, often in emergency rooms where it costs more. It should follow then that treating disease earlier or screening for them before they become more serious should wind up saving more money in the long run. Unfortunate, almost none of this is true. So this is one where I'm like, oh boy, because I'm going to crush you with this. Sarah Mazzetti, who wrote the article, got some food for thought for you. They talked about how emergency room care is not free. People didn't always choose it because they couldn't afford to go to the doctor's office. They often went where they're there because it was more convenient, right? When we decreased the cost for people who use that care, many used it more. So through the Affordable Care Act, they talk about how they decrease the cost so people use it more. I can tell you that I have a lot of nurses who work in the emergency room, and I ask them in multiple offices throughout the country that I've worked in, what is the percentage? If you were to just guess, right? If you were to guess how many actual true emergencies came into the emergency room, how many were true emergencies? And can I tell you that from a patient component, someone who's in the trenches and working through there, said it's typically less than 5%. Less than 5% of people who walk into the emergency room are actual true emergencies. So they talked about how wellness programs, based on the idea that we can save money on healthcare by giving people incentives to be healthy, don't actually work this way. They said, after reviewing the research in detail, these programs don't decrease cost, at least not without being discriminatory. So one of the articles that they research studies that they referenced was one, it was a study that was published in Health Affairs in 2010, looked at 20 proven preventative services, all recommended by the United States Preventative Service Task Force. They include immunizations, counseling, screening for disease. Researchers modeled that what would happen if up to 90% of these services were used, which is much higher than we currently see. They found that this would probably save about $3.7 billion in 2006. They said that sounds like a lot of money until you realize that this was only 0.2% of the personal healthcare spending that year. One reason for this is that not all preventative is the same. They don't, the task force doesn't model costs in its calculation. It models effectiveness, right? It models effectiveness. This is really important when we go through. So I'm like, all right, let me look at the study. Because we, what I always tell you, you've got to research your research. So this is a journalist. I'm unsure what her background is in understanding and reading data and research. So I said, hey, let's figure out what this study published in 2010 in the Health Affairs really looked like at these true preventative services. And this is what it's laughable. Because again, they talk about its effectiveness, right? How important is its effectiveness? So some of the 20 that they looked at. One was the flu shot, influenza immunization. Well, let's talk about effective for that, right? If you really want to know my thoughts on the flu shot, because I don't have time for it today, hop online. We have podcasts. So if you missed last week's show, you can actually go through and check it out. You can go to freedom95.us under the podcast link. Or if you have the podcast app on your phone, you can search Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Again, podcast, Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. And you can check out my thought process on flu shot. But it's less than 10% effective, right? You should, unless you live under a rock, I don't watch the news often at all. I know that the flu shot isn't very effective. So you're basing this as a preventative research study to see how, oh, of course, right? The last several years, the flu shot has not been effective in guessing what the flu is. So you're saying this is a preventative service and it's not effective. So preventative services as a whole are not effective. All right. Let's talk about this. Discussion of folic acid use. Okay. That's great. But are your doctors actually educating you about folic acid? Are they educating you about methylated folate? Because folic acid is unmethylated and actually really toxic to the average person. So are you educating them about how to be preventative with folic acid, which in all regards shouldn't be taken by the average person? It should be folate and methylated. So are you educating about folic acid, which is synthetic, or folate, which is not? Right? Because if you're educating them about something that's not effective, then of course, as a preventative service, that's not going to work. Let's look at some other ones. Let's talk about some of the screenings that they looked at. They looked at cervical cancer screening. They looked at breast cancer screening. They looked at chlamydia screening. They looked at cholesterol screening. They looked at colorectal cancer screening, right? All screenings. Well, you're calling this preventative, right? So tell me this, because there's a very big difference between preventative and early detection, right? So when you talk about preventative, tell me, when was the last time that you knew that a mammogram prevented breast cancer? It doesn't prevent breast cancer. You doing a mammogram every single year will never prevent you from getting breast cancer. It finds it early. That's considered early detection, not prevention. What about chlamydia screening? Will chlamydia screening ever prevent you from getting chlamydia? I'm not sure if you know how that works, but the answer is no, that's not how it works. You either have it or you don't. A chlamydia screening is not ever going to prevent you from getting chlamydia. That's not how it works, right? So hypertension screening, right? Cholesterol screening. We're calling this preventative. So when do you, if I go into the doctor every single day, every single day for the next year, when is he going to find my high blood pressure, my hypertension? When is he going to find that my cholesterol is raised? Before? Hey, Leanne, I just wanted to let you know that next month you're going to have high blood pressure. Tells me right here on my hypertensive screening, right? So are these prevention or are they early detection? Osteoporosis, right? You can get a DEXA screening and it says, hey, your bones are soft. So, I'm sorry, is that going to prevent me from getting soft bones? Or is that telling me that my bones are already soft and I already have osteoporosis? Hey, this says that next year you're going to have osteoporosis. Everything looks good today, but next year, probably not, because this screening tells me that. No, this is early detection. Is early detection helpful? Absolutely, right? Absolutely it is, because we don't want pressure at 300 over 200. So are they beneficial? Absolutely. But if you're telling me that preventative measures aren't worth the cost invested in it, then you have to really say early detection mechanisms aren't necessarily worth the cost that you've got, that you're putting in, right? But here's the hard thing about true prevention, right? True prevention is I'm working out, I'm eating right, I'm decreasing toxicity. The problem with that is who's going to pay for that research study, right? How hard is it? Is that a measurable thing? But when you look at something like obesity, right? Being overweight can, 22 pounds overweight can increase your risk of a heart attack by 75%. Whew. Right? So when we talk about, hey, you're eating right and exercising and you're losing your weight, what does that mean to your heart overall? Does that have a preventative measure on having a heart attack? Absolutely, it does. Absolutely. But how do you measure that, right? So when you're looking at something, the measurable things, when they're talking about the use of preventative services, it's not the use of preventative services. It's use of early detection services, right? Because the preventative services they have in terms of immunization haven't been effective. Flu shot? Come on, get real. So invest in your health. I 100% disagree with this. I think it is very uneducated. The research that they used is skewed. The data that they looked at is ill at best, right? So invest in your health because it does make a difference. Because I see it in my clinic every single day for the last decade. Yet, we base ours on this, the numbers, what is measurable. And what is measurable doesn't actually convey what's true in terms of that prevention. Because when you look at research, they actually found patients who were 65 years of age and older under maintenance chiropractic care for 5 years or longer only accrued one third of the cost that other normal people did. And so now when they went through this, it's not a specific technique. I know some doctors will say this is a specific chiropractic technique. They looked at chiropractic overall, right? Chiropractic overall, maintenance chiropractic care, 65 years of age and older, maintenance for 5 years. And what they found, they accrued one third. And it wasn't like when they did the research, they said, hey, we're going to look at these chiropractic patients who are in the gym and eating well, and then we're going to go to the hospital and in hospice care and check those out. Whew, look at that difference. Nope, they looked at other people with similar lifestyles. And still, patients under maintenance chiropractic care for 5 years or longer had a one-third cost. That's a two-thirds saving. So if you look at those numbers now, this research was done several years ago. If you look at that research now, the average person in 2015 on healthcare per capita spent $9,990. So if you're spending $3,300, that's a $6,000 saving. Can I tell you in the average year, you're not spending $6,000 in terms of chiropractic care, gym membership, going organic, decreasing the toxicity, right? But they're finding that research does, that's true preventative care, right? Not early detection, very different. So start taking care of your health truly preventative, right? That's what we do in our office, Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. That's 893-2853. Initial exam and consultation is $25. Now, when we get back, turmeric, is it just a fad like avocado, or is it the real deal? I'll tell you next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Hear full shows on the podcast link at freedom95.us. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. That's 893-2853. Or check us out online, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. We also are pretty active on our social media. So Facebook, right? You just look at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. Hit that thumbs up. Like our page, you can help. Follow, we post events, what we have going on in the office. Or we're actually on Instagram now, which I guess makes me feel, one of my team members does it, and she's awesome at it. But I guess like it's a thing. I guess I watch Insta stories. But anyways, Instagram, Greenwood Family Chiropractic. Come check us out. Now, so today we're talking about turmeric. So I was scrolling through online and found this big thing about like health myths. And so I love reading them. Because typically the people writing these articles, like health trends that are going to be hot in 2018, right? And so I love reading them because I'm just like, oh my gosh. One, this, you know, whomever on these like big magazine covers, and I'm like, you're reaching so many people with so much information that is wrong. Just so I always think it's so funny. And one of the things on there is turmeric is officially the new avocado. So now that they're actually doing more research, information that we've been talking about for years and years and years, right? Stop fearing saturated fat. I always remember when I first opened up my practice, right? When we first start getting into learning about the benefits of good, healthy saturated fat, right? There's a different quality of fat that someone's like, oh my gosh, yeah, I love guacamole, but I can't have it because I have high cholesterol, right? And now it's like, give me more avocado. I was telling someone earlier today, the cost of avocado in the last like 5 years has quadrupled. It's something absurd. And everyone's like, oh, avocado is this trend. And you're like, no, we're being educated more about how avocado is actually really, really good for your health. And they're doing more research on how it's really, really good for your health. But I don't think it's a trend. That's like saying organic is a trend. That's like saying eating right is a trend. It's no, it's a lifestyle change, one. And number two, avocado is good for you. I'll jump on that trend bandwagon, just like I'll jump on the turmeric trend bandwagon as well, right? Because there are so many health benefits of turmeric. So if you don't know what turmeric is the main spice typically in Indian curry dishes. But it is one of arguably like one of the most powerful herbs on the planet for fighting and reversing disease process. At this point, there are over 10,000 peer-reviewed articles published about turmeric, especially for one of its healing compounds, which is curcumin. So curcumin is the active component in turmeric, right? Sometimes we get kind of confused about this. Curcumin is the active component. Just like you can, there's tons of benefits of ginger. The active component in ginger is gingerol, right? So most people don't know that, but there's actually active components within these foods. You can buy turmeric at stores. It's actually a root. It grows in India and a lot of the other Southeast Asian countries. And you'll find that it's known for its very distinct yellow coloration, right? So some of the chemical compounds are known as curcuminoids. That's the active substance in turmeric is curcumin. Okay. So now that you know that, so people are like, I'm taking curcumin, I'm taking turmeric. So oftentimes when you look, curcumin is more bioavailable than turmeric itself. So let's talk about some of the health benefits of turmeric, because there's tons that you look at. And now again, I'm not a prescribing physician, right? I am a doctor of chiropractic. We look at health and healing from the inside out. We do no prescriptions. And I love that about what we do in the office. So, but here, when you're looking at this, if we can be more proactive, right? This is true prevention, not really detection. This is true prevention. Let's look at what we can do. So, one of the things, and you can go online and look at this because there's tons of websites in terms of looking at the different research studies. But again, there's over 10,000 peer-reviewed research studies. So these are all over the place. One of them, which I reference often in the office and a benefit of turmeric, is that it is one of the most powerful aspects of curcumin is its ability to control inflammation. So in one of the published studies in Oncogene, the results of a study evaluated several anti-inflammatory compounds and found that aspirin and ibuprofen are the least effective, while curcumin is among the most effective anti-inflammatory compound in the world. Anti-inflammatory, right? And it's great because you think about the side effects of curcumin versus the side effects of aspirin and ibuprofen are very different. I actually talked about an article, again, several weeks ago that talked about how ibuprofen taken in men actually affects their fertility after just 2 weeks, after 2 weeks of taking ibuprofen. So that's a huge component. But oftentimes the more current diseases, cancers, ulcerative colitis, arthritis, high cholesterol, chronic pain can all be a result of underlying inflammation. So when you're looking at things like anti-inflammatory, this is a lot with I see more so in the office, is people with chronic joint aches and pains, right? They're like, oh man, I ache everywhere. I hurt everywhere. And you're like, you're probably inflamed. Another one that I see oftentimes in the office is arthritis management. So again, curcumin is known for its powerful anti-inflammatory and pain-reducing characteristics. But there was a study that was done on 45 different rheumatoid arthritis patients to compare the benefits of curcumin and turmeric to the arthritic drug diclofenac sodium. And what they did is they found that overall, the curcumin group showed the highest percentage of improvement in overall disease active scores. And these scores were significantly better than patients in the diclofenac sodium group. Whoop, whoop. They said, more importantly, it was found to be safe and did not relate with any adverse events. They looked at things like naturally preventing cancer. A number of laboratory studies on cancer cells have shown that curcumin does have anti-cancer effects. It seems to be able to kill cancer cells and prevent more from growing. Has its best effect on breast cancer, bowel cancer, and stomach cancer, and skin cancer. So this is a 2017 study in July by researchers at Baylor Research Institute found that curcumin may even be able to break through chemo-resistant cancers in pancreatic ductal adenocarcinoma. So it's an aggressive form of pancreatic cancer. And if you know anything about pancreatic cancer, you know that oftentimes by the time you find it, you are in stage 3 or stage 4, right? It's more advanced. So if you can reverse that all together, how awesome is that? Another one that they talk about are skin conditions. Turmeric benefits for skin include speeding up wound healing, calming the pores to decrease acne and acne scarring, and controlling psoriasis flare-ups. Right? How awesome is that? They looked again at one with antidepressants. So the Journal of Phytotherapy Research published in the results, and they took 60 volunteers diagnosed with major depressive disorder, such as manic depressive, bipolar. They gave half the patients curcumin and the other half Prozac, and then they had a combination of the three. Not only was it discovered that all patients tolerated curcumin well, but they discovered curcumin was as effective as Prozac in managing depression, right? It's the first clinical evidence that curcumin may be used effectively in safe treatment in patients with mild depression. They talk about anticoagulants, antiplatelets. They go through even more about diabetes management. They talked about obesity, gastrointestinal treatments, right? Cholesterol regulators. It was so interesting, painkillers. We have a product in the office that's called our Daily Defense. And so it has all curcumin in there. So it's more bioavailable than if you were just to take turmeric capsules that you would buy over the counter. And we went through and did some testing. And so it was just one that we said, you know, why don't we take a pause on this for a while? And then we'll revisit in a couple months. And he was like, okay. And about 4 weeks in, he said, hey, is it bad if I take it? And I was like, no, absolutely not. Why? He said, in the last several weeks, I've slowly been noticing that my joint aches and pains have been all creeping back to the point where now I have to take Tylenol again. And I don't want to take Tylenol. I'd rather take the Daily Defense with all the curcumin in it. I was like, absolutely, get back on there. So I just think it's one when you're looking at turmeric. This isn't for something that's gone over the past several years with tens of thousands of peer-reviewed research articles. I mean, the next most popular studied herbs are things like garlic, cinnamon, ginseng, ginger, milk thistle. Would you ever be like, that whole fad of garlic. You're like, no, there's so many great health components of garlic and cinnamon. You would never be like, oh gosh, I can't wait till this cinnamon fad is over, right? This is not, I don't think turmeric or curcumin is a fad. What it is that we're discovering more and more the benefit of this. This is one of the great things about food by man. Think about all the benefits that you can do by adding this into your diet. So two ways that I most suggest taking it. Number one is curcumin. So we do it with the Daily Defense. So it has a ton of curcumin in there, which makes it more bioavailable and effective than just turmeric itself. The other thing that you can do, and I recommend for patients, which is more cost effective, is making golden milk. So it is a turmeric paste. How do you make that turmeric paste? And I'll tell you how next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic. Here's Dr. Leanne.
I woke up today with a smile on my face. Sounds like a song I wrote yesterday, but I feel that way again. I'm feeling real, real good again. Like a good umbrella on a rainy day, or a road trip riding on a full tank. I feel real good again.
Turmeric. Fad? I think not. We are talking about some of the benefits of turmeric today. How amazing it is to be able to fuel your body with food, and how food can actually be medicinal, right? How amazing is that? You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853. That's 893-2853. Or check us out online, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Now, turmeric. There are several different ways you can take turmeric. And oftentimes what I see is that people are taking turmeric, which is fine. It's good, right? I just told you about how great turmeric is. But they're typically not taking enough, right? So for me, I really take, and I give my husband, because I'm in charge of his supplements, I give him our Daily Defense. And our Daily Defense is one that has a pretty high amount of curcumin in it. So I like it because of how bioavailable, because that's the primary active compound in turmeric, is curcumin. The other way that we take it too, and again, you can take them in supplement form, turmeric, but what I like even more, and I get a higher amount of turmeric than just if you were to do like the turmeric capsules, is golden milk, or you've heard turmeric tea, liquid gold. Because some people are like, I sprinkle it in my eggs. Well, I want you to do, like, I personally do several tablespoons of it. So if I were to put several tablespoons in my eggs, I am not going to eat the eggs because they're going to be too potent. So what we do is, it's great, especially if you're on a budget. You can go to most of the local health food stores and grocery stores more so than some of the co-ops. Some of them have them. A lot of them I know don't. But they have bulk spices. And in those bulk spices, you will find organic turmeric. You want to get organic, right? And you can get a big, huge bag of it for a couple bucks. It's awesome. And what happens is when I go home, you make a paste out of it. So it's a 2-to-1 ratio. So if I do 1 cup of water, I do 1/2 cup of turmeric, right? So think about it. 1/2 cup of turmeric is a lot of turmeric. So 1 cup of water, 1/2 cup of turmeric, and you just set it on like a low boil and you stir it, and you'll notice that it becomes more of a paste form. This is where you literally can't do it wrong. If it becomes too thick, add a little bit of water. If it's too thin, boil it for a little bit longer, right? And I put it in a glass Pyrex container and I put it in my fridge. It lasts for up to a week. So how do you use it? I typically add it into either my unsweetened almond milk or my unsweetened coconut milk, and I add a couple drops of liquid stevia. Oftentimes people will say, well, can I add it to my smoothies? Yeah, absolutely. But this is one of the main components they put into curry. So if you do like turmeric eggs, you would use it for curried carrot soup, for curry itself. So it has a distinct flavor to it. So I personally don't want to put that with my strawberries and my coconut milk. I'm going to drink it on the side. So amount wise, I probably do about 6 ounces. Not a whole bunch, 4 to 6 ounces of coconut milk or almond milk, 2 tablespoons of the turmeric paste. Then I mix it up. I put a couple drops of liquid stevia. It is so funny because I'll go through ebbs and flows of doing this. I don't do it all the time. Also, too, research has found that combining it with black pepper, the active component in black pepper, it contains pepperine. It actually improves its absorbability through the body. I hate pepper. I hate black pepper. I cannot do it. I will take extra turmeric because black pepper, I don't like it. It's not a fan. I can mix it into flavored food, but if I can taste it, game over, I'm done. So, but if you can handle it, crack some pepper in there too, right? Awesome. And then I just do that. When I'm more consistent about it, because again, I don't do it all the time, but I'll do it for several weeks, a couple times a year. Every time I do it, by the end of like a week and a half to 2 weeks, everyone's like, are you feeling okay? I'm like, yeah. They're like, are you pregnant? I'm like, no. Because it literally makes my skin glow. It's crazy. So that's just a great way of being able to incorporate that a little bit more into your diet itself. Now, more recently, I have had a lot of questions about peanut butter. And if it's healthy, what about if you get organic peanut butter? That's better, right? So here's the thing about peanuts. My general answer to peanuts is, should I eat peanut butter? And that's no. Here's a really easy lateral shift, right? Lateral shift is when you go to the grocery store, instead of reaching left, you just reach to the right. It's the almond butter. Does it taste different? Yes, it tastes like almonds and not peanuts. But here's the thing. I too used to love peanut butter, and I still do, let's be honest, but there's a lot of things that I love to eat that aren't necessarily good for you, right? Can everyone agree with that? At least who's listening. There are a lot of things that we like to eat, but that doesn't mean that they're good for you. And there's reasons why. So first, one of the major things to talk about more specifically is that peanuts are not nuts. They're actually legumes. So they belong to the same family as beans. So compared to nuts, they have a soft outer shell and they grow underground, which makes them more susceptible to toxins. More specifically, aflatoxins. So aflatoxins is a type of mycotoxins produced by the aspergillus mold. Here's what's important, right? The aspergillus mold. Aflatoxins are very toxic and highly carcinogenic, right? Aflatoxins is a known carcinogen associated with liver toxins, right? So aspergillus mold. This is why you'll find when you talk about people who are allergic to peanuts, right? There's a lot of people who are allergic to peanuts, but it is not as common for people to be allergic to almonds, right? Reason being is because, again, that aspergillus has been found to cause tons more health problems. It's associated with growth and developmental impair in children, which is why they always tell you, stay away from peanuts and kids. But unfortunately, with organic, it doesn't mean that it saves us from this toxin. Again, it's a mold. There's a higher mold count, and that toxins is where people have more of the problems with it overall. It also contains higher levels of lectin. So lectins are sticky proteins that are very, very hard for the body to digest. So lectins have been shown to strip away the mucus from the small intestines, so oftentimes are more of a culprit when it comes to autoimmune diseases, IBS, Crohn's, colitis, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, arthritis, and they can also be affected more with leaky gut. So some, and it's not just peanuts that are high in lectins. Other ones are soybean, wheat, obviously peanuts, tomatoes, kidney beans are some of the foods that are high in lectin. So when we're looking at overall how we're looking at peanut butter, this is one. So for me, does peanut butter taste good? Right. But if we know that this causes all of these health problems, why are we still doing it? Even if you're not quote unquote allergic to it, there still can be problems that coincide with it. So we've got to figure out more than, all right, what's a better option? Obviously, almond butter. Almond butter is a way better option. So it's just one that, again, it's super easy to be able to kind of move over and just say, hey, I today choose not to do peanut butter. I choose to do almond butter. Boom. Easy shift. Use it just the same. Tastes a little bit different. Has way more health benefits. Almond, when they're not roasted, actually have a great source of omega fatty acids. And you can get them just as easily. So almond butter, when you're looking at it, can get expensive. So I actually like it. Most of our local grocery stores, they have the ability to go through like a self grind. Those ones are cheaper for the grocery store, so they're cheaper for you. So cost effective wise too, when you go through that self grind, way easier. And oftentimes you don't have to grind them, because I know that sometimes those machines are terrifying, right? You look at them and you're like, oh my gosh. They'll actually self-grind them for you, and all you have to do is just grab them. Like, those are the ones that I grab. I don't have to work with the machine. Like, if it doesn't turn off and then it overflows and you're embarrassed, you want to leave it, you're just like, hide me under a rock now. So I still do the self-grind that's typically from the grocery store itself, but it doesn't necessarily, you don't have to work with the terrifying big machines. So peanut butter, say no. Almond butter, grab it and eat it up. Now, don't forget, some of our biggest event coming up here in the office is going to be on March 3rd. It's at the Vineyard Church. We are doing a heart health workshop. I was looking statistically at some of these numbers when it comes to heart disease, and it is frightening. Cholesterol itself, there are almost 95 million people, adults, American adults, that have cholesterol of 200 milligrams per deciliter or higher. So that's almost 40% of the population has high cholesterol. 34% of the American adult population has high blood pressure. Diabetes, when you're looking at diabetes, 23 million or 9% of American adults have been diagnosed with diabetes. So when we're looking at true preventative care, we have to look at what we're doing in order to strengthen our health, right? Let's be able to be more proactive, not reactive. And that's what we're going to teach at our heart health workshop. It is Saturday, March 3rd from 10 to 1. Registration starts at 9:30. Now, tickets are $25 for two tickets. But if you go on to creatinghealthyindy.com, we set aside a couple free tickets. If you in the promo code type in radio, R-A-D-I-O, radio, R-A-D-I-O, you can grab some free tickets. This literally is going to be an event that will change your life. If you have any questions, you can always reach us at greenwoodfamilychiropractic@gmail.com or reach out to us on our phone, 317-893-2853. That's 893-2853. Thanks so much for tuning in. I look forward to next week educating you about how to be truly preventative with your health. But always remember that your power is on.